Hello and welcome to Euractiv's Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Natasha Foote.
And I'm Gerardo Fortuna.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food News team. So this week, we're very happy to welcome to the Agri-Food Podcast, Magdalena. Welcome back. Welcome back. Not her first time. Magdalena. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hi. So Magdalena's kindly agreed to come on the podcast today and talk a little bit more about the French presidency, which is the main kind of topic we've been talking about this week, the main stuff that's been happening in the agri world. So Magdalena, Julien de Normandie, the French agri minister, was in the parliament, in the agri committee this week in the parliament. What was he there? What did he say? Tell us more.
Yes, all right. I'm happy to. So basically, he repeated what he has already been saying since last year and the beginning of this year with the start of the French presidency on January 1st. So he basically made a point in front of the members of the Agri Committee on what are the French priorities for this EU Council presidency. Mm-hmm. So he quickly came back on the points that Macron pointed out in front of the Parliament last week. So the three council priorities of the French being sovereignty, economic growth, and a feeling of belonging to the EU. So what de Normandie said was that agriculture was basically at the heart of all three of these priorities or pillars, as he said, of the French presidency, because concerning sovereignty, it was very important, he said, to stress the need for food sovereignty in Europe, so the need for European farmers to nourish the European population, basically. And he also said that agriculture was all about economics, obviously, so an important part of economic growth in the EU and a part of belonging, because what we eat and the way we produce what we eat are also part of our national and European identities.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Definitely the Italian in this discussion would agree, I'm sure. No, Gerardo?
Yeah, indeed.
And actually, on that point, you were talking about, you know, his vision for agriculture and the need to sovereignty and the need to, you know, the point of agriculture being to feed ourselves. There was a slight controversial moment, no, where he, let's not say attacked, but he maybe bashed a little bit the Greens, especially.
It was funny because actually it came from the group coordinator in the parliament, Martin Häusling. Who's a green, a German green, and the German Greens are also in the government, in the ruling coalition in Germany.
Very true.
So, and it's basically they express the current agriculture minister in Germany. So it was a very weird attack.
But remind us again, what was it that he said, Magdalena?
So Häusling, I don't know, but de Normandie basically answered that the European Greens forgot a very crucial point about European agriculture, which was the European farmers' mission to nourish the population, and that it was their first and primordial mission, and that basically the agroecological transition, was all about first nourishing people and then thinking about the rest, so like greening agriculture, etc.
Although there were some, critical points, as we were saying before about Martin Häusling, but even other MEPs had some argument against certain recent developments in the agricultural policy, in the French agricultural policy. It was mentioned that the organic sector in France is not entirely, it's in a good condition, let's say. I remember that Magdalena, you also wrote about this, and also this issue is with these neonicotinoid pesticides. Can you tell us a bit more about the current situation when it comes to organic and neonicotinoid in France?
It's basically the same as last year, where the French government reauthorized these insecticides, which have been forbidden in the EU since 2018 for being known as bee killers, basically. And he reauthorized them to save the French beetroot sector from being completely devastated by some virus that was basically killing these plants. And it seems that this year it's happening again, and there's a huge controversy about all that because, well, as environmentalists and defenders of the environment say, these insecticides have been forbidden for 3 and now 4 years and are still continuously reauthorized in France, which is also shedding a bigger light on France's general attitude towards pesticides. So concerning glyphosate, for example.
Which will be a big theme this year.
Exactly, yeah.
Renewal. Indeed,
it's a bit, you know, it's a bit showing some kind of double standard, because it's quite high on the French presidency agenda, this thing of pesticides. But at the same time, they're asking for derogations. Tash, speaking of pesticide and the priorities of the French presidency, there was something a bit not unexpected, but yeah, curious.
I was sure you were going to say curious.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, we talked a bit about it in the podcast last week. Mm. But are there any development on these pesticide residues aspect that the French president, so dear for the French president?
Yeah, well, it's true that I spent actually quite a lot of time this week trying to pick apart and figure out exactly what Julien de Normandie wants when he was saying that he wants to link the upcoming review on the Sustainable Use of Pesticides Directive, as a reminder, which comes in March, the proposal, with a completely separate legislation on maximum residue limits, or MRLs as they're known. So as a reminder, this is something that he's put forward a number of times now in the Agri-Fish Council meeting that we followed, but also before that. And the thing is, in and of itself, I mean, okay, he's saying what he wants to do, but these are two completely separate legislations. It's not clear kind of concretely or even at a technical level how this would work. I mean, you know, what do you actually want? So I kind of put the question to him, and he was pretty vague. He was more pushing on the, you know, political willingness, building a political momentum, he said, around MRLs. And I was doing some digging this week and talking to a lot of different stakeholders and sources about what this could possibly mean, how this could happen in practice, their take on things. And kind of a common theme that emerged when I was talking to these various different stakeholders was the idea that they thought probably Julien de Normandie was actually raising the issues of MRLs as a way to put a review of MRLs onto the EU agenda. So that's not something that's actually tabled for the moment. You know, it's not something the Commission is considering. But it was very much seen as a move to kind of bring this up onto the political agenda at the EU level and push for a review of MRLs at some point in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit weird also because of the, I mean, as you said, there's a legislation on pesticide residues. The Commission already did some considerable steps with some active substances, you know, pushing for the basically zero limits on with certain substances.
Yeah.
So, and at the same time, this is not the moment to push for something like this, because, again, until the proposal from the Commission, it's up to the Commission. They're consulting stakeholders, member states, and even MEPs. They're receiving feedback, but in the end, it's up to the Commission to come up with a proposal. And then it's normal for the lawmakers to amend this proposal at a later stage. So when the trilogue will start, and I really don't see, apart from political aspects related to the elections, as we said last week, that's the oddity of this French presidency happening when there will be important presidential elections in
what are you suggesting?
Yeah, in France. But apart from this, I mean, the moment in which the member state could push for instance, introducing the a mention to a reference to the MRLs in the Sud Directive. It's basically during the trilogues. Yeah? I mean, the trilogues are conceived because of this possibility of amend at a later stage the legislation proposed by the Commission. But of course, we're gonna keep reporting on this very important aspect, also because now Natasha is on fire. It has become one of her favorite topics.
That's strong, also but true, I like it.
this is a question for you both, of course. What kind of topic Italian MEPs could have asked to De Normandie?
Something on the Nutri-Score.
Nutri-Score, of course.
No, oh,
Nutri-Score.
Girls.
Nutri-Score is the... Yeah, it's basically... in Italy now, they're talking a lot about the presidential elections. But immediately after presidential election, there's always Nutri-Score on the horizon.
There's always Nutri-Score on the horizon for Italians.
The situation in Ukraine is not even in the top three topics, but Nutri-Score is there. And so the Normandy confirmed basically that it's no longer relevant, which doesn't mean anything, but that they're gonna push the topic of food labor. It's not gonna be a priority during the French presidency, and this will be the hot potato will be passed to the Czech presidency, I think. So
this
is how I interpreted what he said when he.
I'm sure they're very excited to inherit that.
He did this reference about the not relevant, but it's actually not new, this development, because there was already a kind of appeasement between Italy and France when there was the signing ceremony of this treaty. It's like a friendship treaty signed in, if I remember correctly, in November. And I remember the Italian agriculture minister Stefano Patuanelli released, contacting the press, including me, saying, "Ah, by the way, the French people are basically chickening out from the Nutri-Score," and yeah, basically they're not doing this, but they realize that it's so controversial that maybe it's not better for them to address the issue during their presidency. And they move the focus on
something so on uncontroversial things. Like pesticides.
I mean, yeah, I still think there's a bit of difference between pesticide and Nutri-Score, but actually, yeah, for Italians, it's super important. I don't know, Magdalena, if there are other interesting. Topics that the French presidency is going to address?
Yeah, well, basically it's these two topics, reciprocity in exchange, so in trade relations on the one hand and carbon farming on the other. These were the two specific political priorities that De Normandie stressed out for the agricultural world during his intervention on Tuesday.
Carbon farming, we're about to talk about
it's a great segue, Magdalena. We could not have lined that up better.
Thanks for the assist. But when it comes to trade reciprocity, we also dealt with this in the newsletter, in your active agri-food newsletter that we strongly suggest you to subscribe to. And it's another very particular topic. Not that new for France. They're pushing on this even in other sector. But Tash, since you are the co-author of that column in the Agri-Food Brief last week, what's the situation with these reciprocity aspects?
I just want to point out that brief was, it had an excellent theme.
Yeah.
One of our best, yeah, I'd say. A great pun in the title. Anyway. Yeah, thanks, Magdalena. Thanks. I got distracted now. What was the question?
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's this idea of making, basically making trade as fair as possible, you know, having the same standards for things that are, for everything that's coming into the EU, as EU producers have to uphold here in the EU. And it's, you know, it's not a new theme, I'd say, for the French. You know, it's a pretty long-standing theme that they're looking for, this fairness and reciprocity of all the standards when it comes to things like phytosanitary products, you know, what kind of pesticides you can use and to what extent you can use them. But yeah, so it's basically this idea to not affect the competitiveness of European farmers by undercutting them with imports that have been produced by different standards.
So yeah, it's very... I mean, put it in this term is quite simple, but yeah, it's again, it's another topic that we gonna cover in the next months.
So, as Magdalena so deftly segued us into earlier, she mentioned carbon farming. Of course, this is also, as you just said, a main priority for the French presidency, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and it's also a key priority right now for the European Commission. We've had the Sustainable Carbon Cycles communication that was published back in December. A lot of action happening on carbon farming, and so what was it that de Normandie said this week in the Parliament about carbon farming?
Okay, so basically he has said this many times over during the last year, but he repeated this week that he basically believes that European farmers are climate soldiers because of their very important role in fighting climate change by capturing and stocking CO2 in agricultural soils.
I like the idea of climate soldiers. That's something.
It's a pretty strong picture, yeah.
It's a nice image, no?
Yeah, he likes to propose this kind of images. Yeah. So it's a very visual speaker.
It's like speaking of the mother of all battles when it comes to food sovereignty, for example. So we have battles, we have soldiers.
The mother of battles.
It's impressive, isn't it?
He is very emphatic when he talks, yeah. Isn't he? Mm. It's very, it really emphasizes the stuff he says. Yeah, obviously, as I said, this coincides with this carbon cycles communication from the Commission, this action plan on how to develop...
Can we make an announcement, Tash?
Oh, no, you're going to do this. Go on.
No,
then.
I'm not going to say anything. It's up to you.
No, go on.
I know very little about this stuff, but it's true that there will be a big event organized by the Commission next week. On Monday morning,
actually all day Monday.
All day on Monday, it's a high-level meeting, meaning that there will be Commission Vice Presidents, Franz Timmermans, Agriculture Commissioner, Janusz Wojciechowski, both Environment and Agriculture Minister for France, and this event will be moderated by our own Natasha. So this is something that you cannot miss. I already took a day off on Monday
just to sit with popcorn and watch me.
indeed, this is a bit of a pride moment, we can say, yeah, because it's a very high level event, and of course, I mean, it's quite an achievement, Tash. We can turn this into an interview to you.
Oh, gosh. Do you feel like a proud dad, Gerardo?
Like you know, like the football players. No, not even football players. When someone...
Football players? You make everything about football.
No, when someone, I don't know, make a big achievement or like an Oscar or
you raise like a young footballer through the academy and then they come through and then score their first goal.
No, it's not the first goal. Come on.
All right, okay, they score a goal in the final or something.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, carbon farming is quite an important topic. And as Tash said, the Commission is focusing on that. To be fair, at the moment, I see this a bit of a like, I don't know, a silver bullet, maybe. There's a lot of emphasis, particularly because it's about money that farmers, district farmers, could actually receive as an income support.
To incentivize, right? To incentivize carbon removals.
Yeah. So it's... there's a lot of hype. The point is that it's something that has been addressed also during the Agri-Fish Council by some ministers last week, that there are some open questions, particularly when it comes to the administrative burdens, because, of course, it takes investment to assess the actual removals and all these aspects. So it's not not super easy, not a ready-made solution. And that's also why farmers also want to be incentivized. At the moment, there's a lot of push on carbon farming, but it's true that the money is elsewhere. I mean, it's not in the forthcoming proposal from the commission, and it's one of the eco scheme in the new common agricultural policy. Like, for instance, Luis Planas last week, apart from speaking of Cintura Negra, mentioned is that in the Spanish strategic plan, carbon farming and conservative agriculture is one of the eco scheme that the Spain government put forward in the eco scheme, among the eco schemes. But yes, I mean, it's in a question mark when it comes to the implementation, and particularly how you could reward farmers for this practice apart from the funding in the common agricultural policy.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks, a lot of open questions. Also, a lot of questions on the verification, the monitoring, reporting, things like that, you know, certification of these carbon removals.
And this week, there was also the renewal of the top jobs in the European Parliament when it comes to the committees. And on Monday, there was the renewal of the chair and the vice chair of the Agriculture Committee. It was confirmed as chair the German Christian Democrat Norbert Linz, that we had once in this podcast. We had an interview with him. You remember, Taj?
I do indeed. Maybe even twice. No?
I think.
Well, one interview and we've had
one
a few
interview
clips.
And one comment.
Yeah, a few comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the other vice chair have been confirmed, but there's a switch, let's say, a switch between Francisco Guerreiro, the Green MEP, the Portuguese MEP, that was replaced by the French Green, Benoît Biteau, a very well-known face in the Agriculture Committee. He's one of the most active in the Agriculture Committee. And
he's also a farmer himself, right?
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And we have him here for the podcast for an interview. So welcome, Benoit, and congratulations on your election as vice chair. So what do you hope to achieve with your new position?
Thank you. This position will be an opportunity for me to try to amplify my contribution to the emergence of an agricultural development that relies on the three pillars of sustainable development: social, economic, and ecological. This in order to allow the realization of food sovereignty now and in the future, will using public policies to answer a fair remuneration to producers without jeopardizing the future of next generation. This agricultural model will participate in the mitigation of climate change and the collapse of biodiversity. Economy and ecology are not antagonistic, as some number might think. They are, on the contrary, perfectly complementary, and this is a reason to be hopeful.
And the Agri and the Envi committees of the European Parliament are increasingly having to work side by side on a number of files. So I'm wondering, in your view, how is the relationship between the two, and do you see a need for greater collaboration?
In this holistic approach and long-term vision, which can reconcile ecology and economy, citizen and producer, it is necessary and even indispensable to strengthen and expand cooperation with the Envi Committee. The agricultural activity is so strategic in terms of food, climate and biodiversity that it is absolutely necessary that the question of its development and its future are broadly debated. The joint work of these two committees contribute to this essential objective.
And we spoke before about Julien de Normandie speaking before the MEPs in the Agri Committee this week, outlining the main priorities for the French presidency. So what did you make of his speech?
Well, Julien de Normandie remains stuck in this corporatist and narrow-minded discourse and addresses only the agriculture profession and its satellites. He is exactly the opposite of the desire of a global approach and a long-term vision, of this desire to place the subject of agriculture in a real societal debate, despite the urgency of the situation regarding the climate, biodiversity, food sovereignty, but also the income of producers and the renewal of farmer generation. A minister who managed so much public money to support an economic activity should integrate these multiple inputs in the interest of all. But he prefers to remain in this corporatist approach and pursue with taxpayers' money an agriculture that is at odds with citizen and society expectation.
And Julien de Normandie also took the opportunity to bash the Greens' approach when it comes to agriculture, you know, accusing your party of forgetting the mission of the agricultural sector to feed people. What's your response to this?
In France, we are used to the frontal attacks of this government against the ecologists. This is an illustration that they are becoming aware of the relevance of our proposal and therefore of the threat that we can represent politically. But in essence, our conception of agriculture is first and foremost an agriculture that will be able to feed, but that will be able to feed fairly, healthy, and filled all citizens. The corporatist vision of this minister is from another time, another era, and locks agriculture in a scheme where everyone will lose. The climate, the biodiversity, the food sovereignty, the planet, the European Union, southern countries, farmers, etc., etc. Everyone expects the agrochemicals and the agri-food industry. Is this really what we expect from a minister who should only be guided by the common interest and the concern of future generations?
So that's all from us this week. And this week, like every week, the Euractiv Agri-Food podcast was produced by Euractiv's Agri-Food news team. That's Gerardo Fortuna and Natasha Foote, with the technical support of our podcast producer, Evie Curie. And you can also find this podcast on all major streaming platforms. That includes Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Be sure to subscribe to our AgriFood newsletter so you don't miss the latest agriculture news from the EU. I'm Gerardo Fortuna. Thanks for listening and see you next week.